Sitting all alone like any night before, with me at my place and you at yours. It's okay, I don't mind, I'll just call you on the phone, hoping that you're at home.
This is Rusty Tanton
and Amber Ray,
and you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that's having trouble coming up with these cute little ad-libs for the intros lately. In this episode, Amber heads to Java Monkey to meet with Bianca Frisbee of the Feminist Women's Health Center. They talk about things like feminism, women, and health.
This is Amber, and it's August 15th, and I'm here at Java Monkey with
Bianca Frisbee.
And who are you with?
I'm with the Feminist Women's Health Center.
So first, we need you to tell us about the Feminist Women's Health Center.
Sure. Feminist is a full-service GYN health clinic. So we do everything from abortions at 24 weeks to inseminations for couples and single women that want to get pregnant, to your regular pap smears and breast exams, menopause, women that are in menopause come and get treatment there. We also work with the transgender community, and we're very, you know, gay friendly, and we also have programs for folks that have been sexually assaulted. We have a survivor sensitive program. So we just try to address all the needs, the healthcare needs of women, gynecological healthcare needs.
And what's your role there?
I work in community outreach. So I work upstairs of the clinic. Downstairs is the community services division. So we do all the advocacy and education. So I mainly deal with our internship program, recruiting volunteers. We also have something called the Young Women's Leadership Project, which I'm responsible for, which recruits young women to become the next leaders of the reproductive justice movement. And under that also is the Latina Outreach Program, which is an extra arm of the Young Women's Leadership Project to really try to address and give young Latinas a voice in the reproductive justice movement.
And what kind of things does that entail, the program?
Well, the Young Women's Leadership Project consists of three workshops. So the first workshop is called Focus on Feminists, and it's mostly a historical overview of reproductive justice in the United States. And then we usually try and deal with a kind of pertinent issue. Like, for instance, tomorrow we have Focus on Feminists. It's tomorrow at Feminist from 6 to 9. And we're having Focus on Feminists, the historical portion, from 6 to 8. And then from 8 to 9, we're having a discussion on black women in the media and kind of ideas of responsibility and autonomy. And we're addressing, we're looking at Little Kim as kind of as a example of that.
I saw that, actually, because I'm on your email notification list, and I thought that sounded intriguing. What can you tell a little more about that, or would that
be
a spoiler?
No, I mean, I think there's so much to say about Lil' Kim. I don't think I could spoil a conversation. But basically, just really wanting to. This is our Women in Power series. This is our second session. Our first session we dealt with Condoleezza Rice, and now we're looking at Lil' Kim. And basically, just really wanting to look at some of the kind of arguments for and against her, but not really about her. It's about kind of like minority representation in the media and what it means to be a minority person with a lot of visibility. And kind of, I think some of the main points would be trying to deconstruct, not focusing so much on the fact of her, but the fact, you know, of the white mainstream media, that there are only, you know, whatever, a handful of women of color that are visible. So then we're, you know, tend to be kind of put them under a microscope versus actually kind of addressing the oppressiveness of the mainstream media. So just looking at both of those things, and, you know, hopefully we'll have a lively discussion tomorrow night.
It's very cool. And to go from Condoleezza Rice to Lil' Kim, I just think it's kind of awesome, because some people would probably think of them as like opposite ends of the spectrum.
Right.
But I see, you know, I see where you're coming from with visible women.
Yeah, they both have a lot of influence and a lot of power, really.
Absolutely. So, how long have you been with Feminist Women's Health Center?
I just started with Feminist in January, actually.
Okay.
So I've been there like seven, 8 months.
And what made you decide to go work there?
It's actually an interesting story. I was working in Baton Rouge for another nonprofit doing distribution for. They did documentary films for communities, and I was doing that work. And then Katrina happened, and so our funding got cut. And then I moved. My mom lives here in Atlanta, and I'm from D.C. originally. So I moved here with her, and I was just, you know, trying to figure out if I was going to go to school, what was I going to do, I was just going to get a waitressing job and just kind of figure things out. And I actually just kind of stumbled upon Feminist on the internet while I was in Baton Rouge. And then I was driving past and I saw it. I was like, oh, this looks familiar. This looks like the thing I saw on the internet. So I went in and I was like, well, maybe I can volunteer. Maybe I can get an internship or something. Thinking that, you know, just kind of be in that conversation. And then the woman that had my job previously was leaving that week, and so I interviewed for the job on Wednesday.
Wow, what a coincidence. Fortunate coincidence.
Yeah, 3 days later, there I was.
Wow, very cool. I guess that couldn't have happened better.
Yeah, I felt very lucky, very blessed, for sure.
You said earlier that it's a very trans-inclusive place. Can you talk a little more about that?
Sure. And albeit it's, you know, it's a fairly small population that we actually serve. But, you know, we know that any folks, women that have, you know, female organs need gynecological care. So whomever, you know, has those needs care. And so we want to address that. And we know that it's a specific population that has specific needs. And so what we try to do is, I mean, obviously people are welcome all year round, always, but we do shut the clinic down once a year and have a trans clinic so that only transgendered folks can come and just feel really comfortable and relaxed and get services. We don't start folks on hormones. We will manage that. We have a doctor that will manage hormones after.
And I read that you do some work in conjunction with Southern Comfort. What kind of things do you do?
You know, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Claudia will know.
Okay.
I can find out.
Okay. Well, I guess since you also are an abortion provider at the clinic, have you personally or people at the clinic ever experienced anything, you know, that's sort of scary or disturbing in terms of protests or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, it's less so now in our new kind of setup. Tends to be a little bit more private, and I think folks are a little less, you get less attention, really. There's not much going on.
Because I remember I volunteered there once a little over a year ago.
On 14th Street, or? No.
Cliff Valley. And I had to, there was a security guard at the door.
Mm-hmm.
They had the door locked and everything. And so I didn't know if that was because there had been incidents or just, you know, just a good security measure.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly have pretty tight security, especially on when we do our abortions. But that's just kind of in general, to keep things secure for patients. And pretty much every abortion clinic has got, you know, these days you have to have pretty tight security.
Have you been affected at all by some of the recent legislation that's passed?
Basically, I mean, yeah, we have. I think it's more... I think what we're focused on now is how it's not necessarily that the legislation that was passed last session affected, you know, had a direct effect to, like, blocking services. But really what it did, like the feticide bill and some of the other bills, were to try to set a precedent for kind of fetus rights and kind of setting a tone that's very, very dangerous. So that's kind of what we're focused on is...
And then there was the 24-hour waiting period.
Yeah.
And then I think wasn't there a change to the parental consent? Now you have to be accompanied by a parent?
I'm not sure.
I think. I'm not positive either.
But yeah, I mean, most of it was really just, like, for instance, the pharmacy refusal bill was, like, the most kind of, it was the craziest thing that we had to kind of... pay attention to last session. It was making sure that that did pass. And we had some of our physicians go to the Senate hearing and really, testify on behalf of women on that bill, because it was just insane. And that's...
Do you get federal funding, or...?
We do not get federal funding, because we are...
I guess that's good, then it can't get cut.
It's true. But if abortions are banned, then...
Yeah.
Then we're
exactly.
in trouble, so... But that's another thing about feminists that I always like to say is that... we're very, very, very proud of the fact that we provide abortions, and we'll continue to do that service, but we also do other things, which is, like, good as well. You know, like the...
Yeah.
The woman wellness and all the GYN stuff that we do.
I guess that's the stuff that obviously gets much less publicity.
Right, of course.
It's not as controversial.
It's not as exciting as the other stuff.
What do you think makes the clinic different by having feminist in the name? What do you think that signifies?
I think it... that's a really good question. That's a really, really good question. I mean, obviously, having the term feminist in our name really hooks us, links us to a legacy of the first feminist, and really to a movement, that started, 70 years ago. But I think what's important about it, having that in our name, is just the fact that we approach healthcare from a feminist perspective. That's the framework in which we work, and all of our outreach efforts, in our clinical work, we really come from a space of always, our number one priority is autonomy for the woman and respecting her choices, no matter what they are. I think one thing that is important is that, when something about feminists I'm really proud of in terms of how we provide abortions, when a woman comes in, there's a really thorough counseling process, and if she's not sure, if she's not committed to that decision, we will say, why don't you come back in 2 weeks? Why don't you come back in 3 weeks? Until we're sure that this is what she wants, not what her boyfriend wants, not what her family wants, but something that she's really committed to doing, and she's kind of worked through what that might look like for her. And I'm not sure that that's ever really talked about.
Choice goes both ways.
Yeah, choice goes both ways, and we really support a woman's right to choose either way. And the other thing that I really like about feminists, and something that I'm really passionate about, is this idea of reproductive justice is about as an economic issue as well, and it goes to especially women that are poor, and a lot of women of color who. The idea of being able to carry a child to term and be able to care for that child and have the resources to do so is also reproductive justice, so it's much bigger than I think people are used to thinking about it.
Well, just to wrap up, I guess if you want to give people some information about how to contact you and any programs that might be coming up soon.
Absolutely. Well, my name is Bianca Frisbee, and you can give me a phone call at 404-248-5452, or you can email me at nextwave, NEXTWAVE, at feministcenter.org. And we're having, tomorrow evening from 6 to 9, we're having our Focus on Feminist workshop, which is free and open to the public. And like I said, it's a historical overview from 6 to 8, and then from 8 to 9 we will talk about the controversial Little Kim. And coming up in September, we're having a really amazing, our 10th annual Choice Celebration, which is a celebration, it's like, a really hot party, basically, for all the feminists in the South. A lot of activists, grassroots organizers will be there. And we're working on our entertainment, so I can't say quite yet who's going to be there, but we're working on two very exciting prospects, and tickets will be on sale in the next couple weeks.
Okay, sounds cool. Thanks very much for talking to me.
You can visit the Feminist Women's Health Center online at feministcenter.org. Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com.